Okay, our reading this morning is from Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 to 12. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem, in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judea, are by no means the least among the rulers of Judea, for out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to church. Merry Christmas to you. My name is Alan. I'm the senior minister here at St. James, and I especially want to welcome you if you're not normally with us on a Sunday morning and that this is part of your family Christmas tradition or something like that, or whatever other reason brings you here this morning. We're glad you're here. I think I've thought more this year about royalty than in any other year of my life. This year, as I'm sure you're aware, was Queen Elizabeth's platinum jubilee, 70 years on the throne. And then, sadly, just a few months later, the Queen died. It already feels like quite a long time ago, but you may remember we even had a public holiday. And then we had to get used to the idea of King Charles. And then, of course, fascinatingly, in the background throughout it all, Harry and Meghan. And behind all of it, really, I think, is a clear principle, which is why I have my prop here. There can only ever be one monarch. It's actually what the word monarch means. There can only ever be one monarch. Charles can't solve everything by saying to Harry and to William, "You know what? After I die, you can both be king." There can only ever be one monarch. There's only enough room on the throne, if you like. This is a good example for one. And part of what makes the story of the Magi, the wise men, so dramatic is there's only one throne, but there are two kings. Did you notice it? In the very first sentence, listen carefully. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews?" Two kings. There's one king too many in that sentence. And their question would have struck terror in King Herod's heart. Why? Well, you may not know this. King Herod was not actually a king. Everyone knew this. He was a politician. The Roman Empire ruled this part of the world, what we today would call Palestine, in those days. And the Roman Senate had granted Herod permission to use the label King of Judea, like giving him a class captain's badge. Herod was not royalty. And in fact, Herod was not Jewish. And everyone also knew that. And so when the Magi say, "Where is the one who has been born king of the Jews?" Herod, the non-Jewish, non-king, thinks, "This is bad for me." He knows what every king knows. There is only room on the throne for one. Mind you, Herod hasn't got to this stage in his career by caving in. And so he tests the credibility of the claim, this claim that there's another king. Unfortunately, all the signs are bad for him. The Magi are astrologers. It says they come from the east. They're probably from Persia, from Iran, we'd say today. They say they have seen cosmic signs saying that a king of the Jews has been born. "We saw his star when it rose," they said, "and have come to worship him." Herod then goes to his in-house experts, and again, the news that comes back is bad. It turns out that this was in the Bible the whole time. Herod called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law and asked them where the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied. "But this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." And fascinatingly, everyone assumes that this new king outranks Herod. Nobody is surprised when Herod himself says to the Magi, "Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may worship him." Everyone assumes that Herod is out of a job and a new king is here. Everyone knows there's only enough room on the throne for one. And Herod is going to have to stand up, if you like, and make way. Well, it's a trick, of course, on Herod's part. He has no intention of standing up and making way and bowing down and worshipping and so on. And when his plan fails, he resorts to the indiscriminate killing of local kids in the effort of somehow kind of capturing the king in his net and wiping him out. There's only room on the throne for one. And as the report in Matthew's gospel continues, the Magi, they complete their original mission. It says, "The Magi went on their way. The star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him." There's a way that you respond when you're faced with a real king. If you've been following the story, you'll know there's a bit of a scandal to do with Meghan and curtsying to the Queen. We can discuss that in the new year. I have my views. But there's no such confusion for the Magi. Though they themselves come from other countries with their own kings, when they encounter this king, they bow down and worship. Well, Herod is outsmarted, and he dies within a few years. And these are real events, by the way. This is not a Christmas fable or a parable. But nevertheless, I think, on reflecting on them, we have something important to learn. See, regardless of your views of King Charles, Harry and Meghan, Australia being a republic, regardless of your views on those things, in our hearts, we're all monarchists. What I mean is this: someone is on the throne of your life.
Probably you.
Determining your values. Choosing what you are going to live for. Assessing what sort of person you think it's worth becoming. There you sit. And like every throne, the throne of your life has room only for one. And like Herod, perhaps, the message of Christmas to you as you sit on your throne is that a king has been born whom you ought to worship. But how is this relevant to you? Why would you worship this king? Well, as we read on in this same biography of Jesus that begins with these events, we come to the end of Matthew 28, and we encounter Jesus having risen from the dead. And the risen Jesus says to his followers in Matthew chapter 28, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." That includes authority over us, by the way. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. And this is such good news. This is good news for you. Why do I say that? It's good news because until you get off the throne, your life is being ruled by a tyrant. Until you get off the throne, your life is being ruled by someone deeply imperfect and at times incompetent. Until you get off the throne, your life is being ruled by someone who at times is fearful and at others overwhelmed. Until you get off the throne, your life is ruled by someone who doesn't understand their own motives, who doesn't fully understand even the territory they're meant to govern. But what if your kingdom instead could be ruled by someone wonderful and wise, by someone strong and safe, by someone who would die to save you? What about that? There's only room on the throne for one. And the Christmas message to you this morning is an invitation, really, to do what Herod refused to do. That is to stand up and vacate the throne and invite Jesus instead to sit there, to bow down and to worship him as the Magi did. Let me lead us in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, thank you that in sending Jesus into the world, you have sent us a king who is worthy of ruling our lives. Grant us the same wisdom we see in the Magi all those years ago, that we might bow down and worship him. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.